We need to get the girls and Floyd and Eddie, all of them, to get a couple songs together and use different voices, you know. Bruce Crabtree and I singing together. We got one of them songbooks one day, and we was up right at his house, and me and him and Joe was going through that, just singing, having a big time. And Bruce would say, "Now you sing this part, and I'll sing this part." Well, he'd start off, and I'd go on. Next thing you know, I'm singing his part too. He'd say, "I told you to quit. I'll sing my part. I'm going to sing like this. You sing that." And you know, next thing you know, I'm right where he's at. So, you know, I've either got to lead and you got to follow, because I sure can't follow. But I want to bring a message. You know, last week we've been dealing with this first persecution of the church, Peter and John, for in Acts chapter 4. We're dealing with this first persecution, and because they had healed that lame man. God had used them to heal that lame man who had laid at the temple all of his life, you know, been lame all of his life and laying there begging money, begging, made his living begging outside the temple. And they called these men in and threatened them, and Peter used the opportunity to bring a glorious, blessed gospel message that there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must. There's a people who must be saved. We must be saved. Must be. There is those who must be saved. And this is the one who saves them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they brought them in, threatened them, said, and told them there in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 4 here, says that, "But that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." It wasn't the healing that upset them so much. It was the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead by Him. And that's when they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's pick up verse 23 and read to the last of the end of the chapter. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or son of comfort, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now these men had straightly threatened these great rulers, this Sanhedrin, the elders, chief priests, everybody that was anybody. 70, 80, 90 people gathered here, threatened these men. "Don't never speak in His name again. Don't let us catch you doing it again." Well, if these disciples continue to teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ, when they said, "You judge whether we should obey you or obey God," it would be considered by the authorities to be in contempt of court, their authority, their assembly. But if they remain silent and listen to them, they're going to disobey God. They're not going to do what God called them to do. Now, what do you think they're going to do? What do you think they're going to do? And you know the church. This is the beginning of the church, the New Testament church. Started over there in Acts chapter 2. And as this New Testament church is starting to be built, starting to be used, and God starts saving people, stretching forth His hand, this is a model for us. A model for us. And so many things about them is a model for us. So what did they do? It says in verse 23, "And being let go, they turned them loose now." They'd kept them in jail the night before, called them in and threatened them and listened to what they had to say and threatened them and told them if this wasn't going to happen anymore. And being let go, now watch what they did. They went to their own company.
Yes, sir.
You know, birds of a feather flock together. That old saying, you know. Like attracts like. Like attracts like. These men went to their own company. They didn't go to the world. They didn't go to get them a lawyer and help get us out of this mess. They didn't go and call a business meeting. No, they went to their own company. They went to the believers. They went to those who were believers like themselves. And oh my, you know, this is so true. You know, all of God's people, whenever they're in trouble, whenever they've got heartaches, whenever they're afraid of something, when they're confused about something, the thing that they love to do is being in their own company. Find comfort from it. Talk to somebody about it. Find out what's going on. And that's what they went to their own company. And when they got there, they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They sat down and rehearsed everything that had been told. All the threatenings, who all was there, what said, who said what, why they said it, how they acted. They told the whole thing. And they're talking about the chief priests now. They're talking about the elders of Israel. They're talking about the rulers of Israel. They're talking about the captain of the temple, the one who came and got Christ that night when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is the third most powerful man in the nation. And these are powerful people. And they went right back to their own company. Got to go to people that's like me. Go to people that I enjoy being with. And oh my, here they go. And I'll show you this to show you how they do. Look down here in verse 26. Show you how the kind of people flock around their own kind. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against His Christ. Back up there in verse 27. Pontius Pilate, Herod, the Gentiles, the people of Israel gathered together. People like their own kind, what they got in common, what they got in will and mind and heart. And these people had their hearts and minds was against God and against Christ, so they gathered together to be against Christ. In fact, it said Herod and Pilate had been in enmity before, but when it come to crucifying Christ, they became friends again. They joined together. They said, "This is the thing to do." And so they rehearsed everything. Now, look what happens. And when they heard that, here's all these saints. I don't know how many, there's a whole bunch of them. And they rehearsed everything that happened, told everything that happened. And oh my, well, what did they do? Well, I'll tell you this. Well, let's see what we ought to do about this. Let's get a committee together and have them decide how we ought to deal with this situation. We'll call us a committee. We'll put somebody at the head of it. Put somebody as a second person in charge, and they'll go out and they'll decide and they'll investigate this situation, see what we've done wrong, and tell us what we've done wrong, so that the next time this won't happen, we'll know what to do the next time, what to say and what not to say, so that we won't get arrested again. Call the denomination or elders together. Says now. What would the nomination have us to do now? No. They began to pray. They went to the Lord. They went to God. They went to Christ. They went to Almighty God. And when they heard that, they, I don't believe all of them prayed at the same time, but they were all in heart, will, and purpose and accord together. And that's what it says. And they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Huh? One accord. One in spirit. And here's how this is what they've done. First of all, they started praying to God as He is. As He is. First they said, first word out of their mouth, Lord! God! Sovereign! Eternal! Immutable! And their prayer was so scriptural. So scriptural. You'll look in here and see that what they were praying with was the Scriptures. And then not only did they acknowledge God is sovereign, You're almighty. You're God. You are God. That's what they said. You're God. There's no one like you. You're God. You're the great I am. You're God with all power. You're God with all authority. You're God who called us. Now watch this. And then they not only done that, but they said He's creator. They acknowledged Him as God. You're the one who made this heaven. You made the heavens. When we stand out at night, we see the heavens. When we look at the clouds of the day, we see this is what You made. And we see this earth. It's the one that You made. And all the sea and everything that's in them, You made it. You made it. A man can say he believes in God, be an evolutionist. But a man can't be a Christian and be an evolutionist. There's a big difference. Lots and lots of people say, I believe in God, but also believe that God's made God's way of doing things. You can believe in anything, but you can't be a Christian and be an evolutionist. Huh? Can't do it. Can't do it. No. These men knew that. They started addressing as God, as the Creator, as the Sustainer, as the One who made this world and upholds it by the word of His power, who measures the waters in the hollows of His hands. And oh my. And then they started using His word. And they said there in verse 24 and verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said. They started talking about God's word. Let's see what they're talking about. Look in Psalm 2 with me just a minute. This is the psalm they're using. This is the psalm they're praying. These men and women knew the Scriptures. They understood the word of God. They prayed scripturally. They prayed. They addressed God as He is and used His own word to talk to Him about and used His own word as arguments for themselves and against the world. And oh, when we talk to God, now you know, and we start addressing Him as He is in the Scriptures. Start addressing Him as He addresses Himself. And that's why they said, stretch forth your hand. God don't have a hand, but He says, stretch it forth. In other words, we want your power to come. And oh, here's what he's saying. And they quoted almost verbatim while they're praying. Why do the heathen rage? Oh, the heathen raged. And you know who the heathen was? The Pharisees, the Sadducees. They were the ones raging at Christ. They were the ones that said, we'll have no king but Caesar. They were the ones who said, this man blasphemed, make himself God. This is the man who runs around here, says he's going to set up a kingdom on this earth. This is the man who said, Jared, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Oh, they raise, and the people imagine a vain thing. It's a vain thing to set yourself against God. It's a vain thing to be enraged against God. It's a vain thing to have your anger against God. You know that man that shot all them Amish girls here last week? He left his suicide note and he told his wife, said, I hate God. I hate Him. He's one of the few in this world that ever owned up to it. But he said he hated Him. He went into eternity. And you know what? He's as mad at God right now as he was the minute he went and left this world. Just like that. He's still mad at God. Still hates God. And guess what? What a vain thing. Did he hurt God?
Not a bit.
Huh? Did he change God? Did he change His nature or His holiness or His power or His purpose?
No.
Then watch what he says here. And the kings of the earth set themselves. They all got set, you know. Oh, they rolled up their sleeves. They all got together and they got set. And the rulers, they got together and they took counsel. How many times did he say they took counsel? When they might take him and how they might take him. Psalms 2 and verse 2. And against the Lord, they took counsel against the Lord. Not only that, but against His anointed. Oh, here's what they said. We'll not have this man reign over us. We'll not let him take, you know, our Lord says, you know, that He's going to take the kingdom from them and give it to somebody else. He's going to take the wine press from them and give it to somebody else. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Break their bands asunder. Oh my, we'll not have him to reign over. Cast their cords from us. Well, what did God do? He that sitteth in the heavens. What does he do? He laughs. Two places in the scriptures it talks about God laughing. God shall laugh. You talk about God having a sense of humor. This laugh here is not like you and I talk about. Just have them in derision. Just absolutely saying, what? How foolish. How foolish. Did not upset God at all. And oh my, and in spite of that, look back here in the last, down in verse 6. And they set themselves against God, set themselves against His anointed, had Him crucified. And yet look what God said. Laughed at them. Yet, though you're against me, yet though you rage, yet though you imagine vain things, yet you took counsel against me, yet you rose up against me, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, and I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Oh my, so they're praying. Listen, they're praying. They said, who by the mouth of thy servant David, back over in Acts 4. David was a prophet. David talked about this 1,000 years before Christ ever come. 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was made of the seed of David. And that's what he said in there in verse 26. So the kings of the earth stood up. Rulers got themselves together against the Lord and against His Christ. If you're against Christ, you're against the Father. If you're against the Father, you're against the Son. That's what our Lord said. He that honors the Father, honors the Son. He that honors not the Father, honors not the Son. That's what He said. And oh my, for of a truth, and this is what's going on. Now they're praying, they're talking to God. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, that one that you sent in the flesh, Jesus, that one that you gave Him His name, Savior, for He shall save His people from their sin. Whom thou hast anointed, that's the one they was against. Yeah. Your anointed, against the Lord and His anointed. Here's the kings. Herod, king. Pontius Pilate, ruler. With the Gentiles and the people of Israel. All the priests. It was the priests that stood outside and talked, got the people stirred up when they said, Pontius Pilate said, I'll turn Barabbas loose and I'll keep Barabbas and let Christ go. I'll find no fault in him. They stirred him up, crucify, crucify, crucify. And they were gathered together. They got together, this multitude. Well, what in the world was they doing? What was they doing? What was this madness? What was this imagination? What was this raging doing? God said, I set my king on the holy hill, yet in spite of you. And what's this? What were they doing? They was doing whatsoever your hand and your counsel predestinated, foreordained, determined before to be done. I got it in my margin here. It says in the New International Version, it says, for to do whatsoever you decided to do. That's weak, ain't it? Oh, that's awful. God don't make decisions. God makes decrees. And you know when He made His decrees? Before you and I got here. And after you and I are gone, His decrees will still be in effect and still be in force. And oh, that's what they're saying. And oh, Lord, see, they're acknowledging His sovereignty, acknowledging His purpose. We now understand that when they took your Son, when they took the Lord Jesus Christ, when they took Him and gathered together against Him and nailed Him to a tree and lied on Him, they were doing what You determined before to be done. They were fulfilling Your will. They were, this is the way You was pleased to save sinners. And now watch what they say. And now, Lord, now, oh Lord, listen to the threatenings. Those men threatened us. They threatened Your people. They threatened us. Listen to the threatenings. Oh, and now you think, now they say, Lord, protect us, preserve us. Don't let them hurt us. No, no. You know what they said? Grant unto Thy servants. Give to us that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. You listen to the threatenings. You just give us boldness. You give us freedom of speech. You give us courage to just do nothing but preach Your word. Let them threaten, but just give us boldness. Give us freedom. Give us a fearlessness to stand and speak Your word. They didn't say, Lord, kill those men. They didn't say, Lord, protect us from those men. They didn't say, Lord, those men are going to hurt us if You don't stop them. They didn't say, Lord, the church is going to go out of business if You don't deal with these men. No, 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 no. They didn't ask God to do anything except just listen to what they say and give us some boldness, some freedom to speak Your word. And they just got through telling, don't You do that. That's exactly what they're praying to do. Huh? Well, exactly what they're praying to do. Now watch this. Well, how are you going to do that? Give us this boldness. Oh, stretch forth Your hand. Oh, Lord, there's so many people out here in misery, sickness, and affliction. And to prove that Christ is who You said He was and that they crucified the Son of God and that they're guilty of that, stretch forth Your hand to heal. To heal. Like You did that lame man. Heal. And that signs and wonders may be done. Oh, signs. Multitudes being converted. Multitudes being healed. The dead being raised. And that's what the apostles were used for. They were used to establish the church by signs and wonders. And that it be done by the name. Not by our holiness, not by our power, not by our righteousness, but by Thy name, by the name of Your holy child, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they told Him when they said, "What? By what name or authority did You do this?" When they had that lame man standing there that they'd heal. And you know what? The first word out of His mouth was, "By Jesus of Nazareth, this man stand here before You whole." So Lord, just keep on doing what You're doing by the name of Your Son, by His power. And oh, so what, look what happens now. Verse 31, and when they had thus prayed, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Oh my. I believe the building actually shook. When it says it was shaken, I believe the building shook. You know, the mountain shook. I mean, it was a trembling. It was a shaking. And God came down in such power. You know, when God came and Isaiah saw His glory, the Scripture says that the post of the temple trembled and shook. Huh? And oh my, and I tell you what, when God really truly comes in a place, it'll shake things up. You know, that Peter and Silas was in jail and God shook that place up and opened the doors. And oh, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Not only that, but they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the third time of the filling of the Holy Ghost. They were all filled on the day of Pentecost. Simon Peter was filled and John was when they preached to the crowd here that day. And here they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And watch what happened when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness. That's all they asked for. Well, God gave them what they asked for. They asked for boldness. God gave them boldness. They wanted freedom to speak His Word. He gave them freedom of heart, mind, and will to speak their Word. And they spoke it with boldness. And I'm telling you, beloved, see that where that little thing is right there by verse 31? That's a new paragraph, starting a new paragraph. So they're out now. The place has been shaken. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. They're out preaching. And the multitude of them that believe, what's this now? I love this. We're of one heart. One heart. One heart. What does that mean, one heart? That means they were emotionally bound together. They were in love with one another. And one heart means that they're... Paul says, my bowels are enlarged towards you. My heart is enlarged towards you. My heart's already big towards you. But when I think of you, it gets bigger. And that's what these people were so emotionally bound together. They were so bound together. And I was thinking about that today. And I'll just give you an illustration. Y'all remember when Tim James, I was thinking about going over to Cherokee this week, when Tim got that news that he had that spot on his lung. And oh, you know, when you heard it, it just felt like somebody hit you right in the stomach. You know, I started crying. And I started praying, Lord, there's so few preachers, so few of your people. Oh, God, have mercy. Have mercy on him. Do something for him. Don't let you do what you will, but we certainly don't want to lose him. You know why? A heart. When you hear about one of the brethren being sick, Todd or Henry or me or you, when we hear about it, our hearts are touched. And then when he called and found out that it wasn't cancer, but that it was some dust on his lung, I cried again. Because I was so relieved and so thankful. It's one thing to say, God, when you're scared. But it's another thing to turn around when the news changes and say, Lord, I bless you.
Amen.
That's got to be something besides nature to cause you to do that for a man that you're not around all that long. Ain't that right? And that's what these folks are about emotionally in their heart. They're committed to the same thing. And not only that, but it says they were of one heart and of one soul. Oh my, one soul. That means they were in the same mind. They were thinking along the same lines. You know, they all praying together. They're all asking for the same things. They're all sitting there saying, Amen, Amen. Yes, I don't know who's doing leading in prayer, but whoever leaded in prayer and guided them through it, everybody else was saying, that's right. Amen. Lord, grant that. And oh my. And they had that one soul. They were thinking along the same line. And I'll tell you this, they had the same theology. They every one believed God was sovereign. They every one believed God created the heavens and the earth. They every one believed that all these people had gathered together against Christ. They every one believed that God Almighty had determined this to be done beforehand than the predestinating purpose of God. They every one believed that God would come and take care of them and enable them to preach His gospel. And oh, I love this. And neither said any that all of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. Oh my, when they all ate from the same pot. That's what it's saying. When they ate table, they all ate the same table. They considered everything they had to be everybody else's.
Amen.
That's what our Lord said. He says, you know, if you no man has forsaken all things, he'll have a hundredfold in this life and a multitude in the next. How many fathers do we have? How many mothers do we have? How many brothers do we have? How many sisters? How many children? All these children are my children. They really are. I feel that. I hug them and I love them. And that's the way you feel. How many beds can I sleep in? How many meals have I got to eat? And I go in your house, this is yours. As long as you hear, it's yours. What do you want to eat? You know, and that's the way it is. Isn't that the way you do, people? That's what he said, having all. No, this is not mine, it's ours. And that's the way they were. And with great power, verse 33, and with great power, gave the apostles witness. This is what they said. Don't you dare do. They went right back at it, Drew. Oh, they went right back. They said, don't you do this anymore. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. This stone which you set it not, God has made him the head of the corner. And I love this. And great grace was upon all of them. I'm sure folks were spying out, you know, with sitting around spying on them. They just get up and go to preaching. And neither of these folks had everything so much in common. And you know, in this unity that they had, this common that they had, this unity here was not a unity of conformity, where everyone is exactly alike. No, it wasn't that. I remember our Lord prayed for unity. I pray that they may be one as we are one. It wasn't when we was in the military, we just looking at a picture back there. Everybody had to wear the same uniforms. Everybody had to be just alike. They wanted you to be one. A unit is one. Everybody had to be alike. Dress alike. March alike. They wanted you to think alike. They wanted it all the same. Every, your foot lockers were the same. Your colors and covers on your bed the same. Your shoes was the same color. Your hats was the same color. Everything was the same. When you sat down to eat, everybody ate the same thing. They didn't give you a menu and say, you want to pick from. That's not the way they done it. Well, that's not what this unity was about. This oneness, this common, that they had all things in common. That's what not what, it wasn't that. And it wasn't an organizational unity where everyone's forced because they're in the same denomination to believe the same thing, use the same literature, support the same things. No. This unity here is by the Spirit of God. And they all had, these men preached the gospel. And now watch there in verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. You know, that's what the Scriptures told us over, and I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. They that had much gave, and those who lacked, didn't have much didn't lack anything. Those who had much didn't want for anything. Oh, they just... Everybody, and neither was there any among them that lacked. They saw people that was poor, people that couldn't afford things, people that didn't have things. And see, to become a believer, the Jews would disown you. They'd put you out. You'd lose your jobs. They'd take you home. They'd do a lot of things against you. For as many as were possessors of houses or land sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according. Now this is what I like, as he had me. Felt it had no need, he didn't get anything. Person had a need, they didn't get in line, you know, like when they give them commodities out up here in town. Folks don't run up there and get in line, you know, and get something. No, these people here, they didn't go get in the line. I believe that people, when they saw somebody with a need, that somebody tells them, they'd go over and take care of that need. They'd take care of that need. If it was a food, if it was a sick child, if it was a widow, whatever it might be, they took care of it. And oh my, these folks shared everything. They were one in the work, and they was also generous in it. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, being interpreted the son of consolation, and everywhere he went, boy, he consoled people. He was a son of comfort. He was a Levite. He was one of the Levite tribe. He was one of those who served in the temple and of the country of Cyprus, and having land, sold him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. There's a lot of poor people, and this is the way that they took care of the poor back then. This is the way they took care of those that was in great need. So we see the way they worship. They went to God in prayer. They went to their own company. People gravitate to one another. And they used scriptural prayer, and then they was one, and they all went out, and they with power preached the gospel. And there in verse chapter 5 and verse 1, this is going to start a whole nother way of looking at things. Everybody else is giving their things freely, gladly, thankfully, to be a blessing to the saints who didn't have much, and didn't have anything really. Then there were some who came and sold a possession. And they said, well, we're going to keep back part of it and lie to them. We're going to. And then you see the first time you see hypocrisy and lying and deception and how God deals with it.